Morning, everybody. It's good to be with you this morning. It's lovely to see so many people here, and welcome to visitors. We have reached the last of the Beatitudes. Way! I hope you've found this series helpful. There's been so much in it, hasn't there? So many different things. But we have now reached number 8. Next week, we will have a conclusion of the whole series that Florin will bring. But we've reached number 8. And if you could put the first slide up. The 8th Beatitude. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Whereas the first 7 Beatitudes are to do with our own character and lifestyle, the 8th Beatitude has to do with opposition that we face because of our testimony and witness. There will be times when we will experience persecution of some form. Jesus says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness." Now, I was thinking about it. This is just another one of those times when we see that God's kingdom is counterintuitive to the norms of society. Upside down kingdom. How can we be blessed? Remember, blessed means happy, or more than that, favored. How can we be blessed in the face of opposition and persecution? Jesus even goes on to say in the next verse after this, or the next couple of verses after this beatitude, he says, "Rejoice and be glad." What? What on earth does he mean? Let's look into it a bit further. Persecuted because of righteousness. Righteousness is not merely a set of rules or moral codes. It's a way of being that always aligns with God's will. When we choose righteousness, we often find ourselves swimming against the tide. We stand out as different. The world may resist the values we hold dear. We can't always fit in. In a society that embraces diversity, there's an ongoing tension between what is deemed acceptable and the moral compass guided by our faith. Our commitment to righteousness may, at times, lead us to being criticized or misunderstood. When we think of all the other Beatitudes, they outline a radical way of living. They challenge us to embrace humility, mercy, peacemaking, to seek after purity of heart, to thirst for righteousness. And these values may not always align with the prevailing attitudes of the world. But it is in living out these principles that we embody the righteousness Jesus speaks of. As we seek to live out our faith, it may lead us to face opposition. As I said before, we might be misunderstood or criticized. Our views may not be welcome in certain groups. We might feel ostracized, cut off from some people. We might get teased at school or at work, or worse, maybe we feel overlooked for a promotion. We might feel left out of social groups because they feel we'd ruin the atmosphere or something. Our family might not understand us. We might feel on the outside because we follow Jesus. And governments are making more and more laws which are against the word of God. We need wisdom in how we respond to the authority of our society-driven rulers, while not dishonoring the name of the Lord. We need to be watchful and not take our freedom in this country for granted. For a long time, teachers have not been allowed to speak openly about their personal faith in school. Doctors and nurses aren't allowed to pray with people. We've seen people in trouble for wearing crucifixes. Our freedom is slowly being eroded. In these moments, we stand in the company of the prophets, apostles, and believers who, throughout history, bore witness to their faith in the face of opposition. Next slide, please. Oh, no, sorry. I didn't realize you'd put the next one up already. That was the one we needed. Jesus puts it in verses 11 and 13. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Okay, now the next one. Take Daniel, for example. Because he refused to obey an edict that said you could only worship King Darius and not any other god or man, and he refused to stop praying to the one true God, he was thrown into a den of lions. But we know that God miraculously had delivered him from that. Next one. Then there's Elijah. He had to run for his life when Jezebel threatened to kill him after he stood up against the prophets of Baal, and God's power had been shown, as the picture there shows how God sent fire down onto that altar that he built. Elijah made sure that all the prophets of Baal were killed, and so Jezebel decided that that was the end of him, and he ran for his life. Next slide. The Apostle Paul, he was beaten, stoned, imprisoned, and you can see he's in chains here. People didn't want to hear what he had to say about Jesus. The Jewish authorities felt threatened. Next one. And our Lord Jesus was opposed. Again, the Jewish leaders felt threatened by his words. He endured the pain of persecution from the hands of those opposing him, ultimately to his death on the cross. Next slide. In John chapter 15, Jesus tells us we shouldn't be surprised. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belonged to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. So as Jesus is saying in there, don't be surprised. They persecuted me. And if you own my name, they will persecute you. And then Paul says to Timothy in the next slide, 2 Timothy 3. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Let's remember, Satan really doesn't want us standing out, standing up for Jesus. He doesn't want people hearing the good news of Jesus, doesn't want people to know Jesus saves. Satan is described in Revelation 12 as the accuser of the brethren. He puts doubts in our minds and tries to water down our faith. Paul tells us in Ephesians that we're in a spiritual battle. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. There will be times when we come up against opposition, but remember, Christ has the victory. Next one. He said, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." When we are being persecuted for Christ's sake, he tells us to rejoice. As we read in Matthew, it says, "Rejoice and be glad." And that in the New Living Translation says, "Be happy about it. Be very glad." Why? Why should I be very glad people are persecuting me? Because it's evidence of your calling. Evidence you are walking with Christ. Evidence you are counted worthy of suffering. If we look at this beatitude again, we see those persecuted for the sake of righteousness are blessed, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus also says in verse 12, "Because great is your reward in heaven." What Satan means for evil, God will work out for our good. We can, and we should, prepare ourselves to stand fast in the face of persecution. One of the most important things we can do is to put on the full armour of God. And those of you who were at the study group on Tuesday, it's just a bit of a reminder, isn't it? It's what we were talking about on Tuesday as well. Next slide, Ephesians chapter 6. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, and with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flames of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." So important. I'm telling myself this as well, because I know I don't do it often enough. I know someone who went on a missionary trip, and he told me that every morning he got, he physically pretended to put on the armour, take up his shield, put on his helmet, put on the breastplate, so that he knew when he was going out, he was protected. He was going out with the armour on. And we also need to be reading the Bible, familiarizing ourselves with God's word. Grow in our knowledge of Jesus, in our relationship with him, and do what we've learned over the last few weeks from the Beatitudes. Be meek, humble, show mercy, have a pure heart, thirst after righteousness, be peacemakers, grow to be more like Jesus. We need to spend time in prayer, privately and with others, and we need to regularly gather together to worship God and learn from his word. Now, I don't know about you, but I feel we don't really know what persecution is about in this country. Not when we compare ourselves to our brothers and sisters in lands where it's really dangerous to follow the Lord. So I wanted to take this opportunity for us to spend time looking at the suffering some face because of their faith, and spend time praying for them, as is only right that we should. Open Doors is a missionary organization that we support financially as a church. They work for the persecuted church. They publish a world watch list annually. They've just published this year's, And if anybody wants to have a look, I've got the World Watch list here for 2024, and it shows the top 50 countries where it is dangerous to be a Christian. I'm going to leave it around here somewhere, but you're welcome to have a look at it. I think we should find somewhere on a wall somewhere to have this up so that people can look at it regularly and pray for people in those countries. 1 in 7 Christians persecuted. Look around this room. How many people are in here? That means there must be about 10 of us should be being persecuted. And we're not in the way they are. So think how many in a village of 50 Christians. They're all under that persecution. It's just blows your mind. We've got, it said in there that the number one country is North Korea. And I don't suppose that's a surprise to anybody. It has been for so long, hasn't it? They estimate that some 400,000 Christians are in North Korea, which is a very small percentage of the country's total population of more than 26 million people. Many of these Christians are being held in labor camps and prisons for their faith. Being discovered to be a Christian in North Korea is effectively a death sentence. Either believers will be deported to labor camps as political criminals, where they face a life of hard labor where few survive, or they're killed on the spot. The same fate awaits family members. There are believed to be tens of thousands of Christians held in labor camps across that country. Christian women held in the country's barbaric labor camps are acutely vulnerable to sexual violence during interrogation and in daily prison life. Such offences are committed by guards with the deliberate intention of undermining Christian teaching on sexual purity. An estimated 80% of all North Korean defectors are women, and many North Korean women who defect to China are subject to human trafficking. China has recently repatriated hundreds of North Korean refugees, including many Christians. Upon return, they will face imprisonment or even death. It's impossible for Christians to live freely in North Korea. Meeting for worship is extremely dangerous and must be done in utmost secrecy and at grave risk. In May 2023, 5 members of a family were arrested as they gathered for prayer and Bible study. Christian literature was also confiscated. The group had reportedly been meeting on a weekly basis, and their arrest followed a tip-off by an informant. The deplorable treatment of believers is driven by the authoritarian regime's view that Christians are a particular threat to the country's leadership and society. The anti-recreationary thought law, that's the name of the law, it was enacted in December 2020, makes it amply clear that being a Christian or possessing a Bible is a serious crime and will be severely punished. The churches shown to visitors in Pyongyang serve more mere propaganda purposes. Let's say a prayer for North Korea now. Lord Jesus, our hearts ache as we hear about the extreme dangers facing our family in North Korea. May each and every believer feel your tender, loving care and be strengthened with your power to persevere with the hope of Jesus firmly in their hearts. Provide precious moments for believers to meet, both in prisons and in secret gatherings. And give Christian parents wisdom and creativity to know how to share their faith safely with their children. Protect your family, give them discernment when tough decisions must be made, and may their lives draw others to you. We also pray for Kim Jong-un. Soften his heart and show him a better way to lead. Holy Spirit, have your way in North Korea. Amen. I would just say that the prayers that I'm reading, I have got from the Open Doors website. And you can all look on there anytime. There's so much information and ways to pray. Another country on that World Watch List map is the Dominican Republic of Congo, DRC. And we know we have a connection there because that's where Andy has a connection. And he went there last year when he was doing his mission trip. And he's going to go back, hopefully, this year again. He has lots of friends there. And so I thought it was really a nice thing that we should recognize just how dangerous it is over there too. They are number 41 on the list. There are around 93.4 million Christians in the DRC, which is 95% of the country's population of 98.2 million people. Even though most of the country is Christian, believers are increasingly vulnerable to persecution. Christians who live in the eastern part of the DRC are at incredible risk. The region is home to more than 100 armed groups, some of whom specifically target followers of Jesus. This leaves Christians and churches in this part of the country vulnerable to attacks, including murder, abduction, and sexual violence. Church leaders who speak out against the violence put a target on their backs, making it difficult to raise their voices against the atrocities. The violence has led to a massive displacement crisis in the DRC, and many believers are among the displaced. In parts of the country dominated by other faiths, converts from both Islam and indigenous regions can be pressured to participate in non-Christian religious activities and ceremonies, adding to the challenges that religious minorities face in the area. Women living in areas controlled by Islamic militant groups like the Allied Democratic Forces can face violent persecution for their faith. Women and girls in ADF captivity have even been used as human shields during violent confrontations with government forces. Let's pray now for our brothers and sisters in the DRC. O God, our hearts are broken by the horrific stories of violence in the DRC. We grieve with so many believers who have lost loved ones or endured unspeakable evil. We mourn with those who mourn. Be present, merciful Father, with our sisters and brothers in the DRC. Help them to know that you are with them and are their hope. Please bring peace. In the name of Jesus, be near your people. Father, we thank you for our freedom here in this country. Help us, Father God, not to be complacent, not to take it for granted. Help us to remember our brothers and sisters, we pray. And we thank you, Lord God, for your promise through Jesus that great is the reward for those who stand firm, who are persecuted for their faith. Thank you that that's a hope for those people in other parts of the world. And it's our hope as well. Keep us committed to remembering them, we pray. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.